So do guns save lives? You know the bumper sticker, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. But what are the statistics on defensive gun use? Well, they're competing. Criminologist Gary Kleck claims there are millions of defensive gun uses, or DGUs, every year, and pro-gun advocates cite his work. But many other researchers insist it's nowhere near true, that a gun in the home for defensive use is more likely to be used in a crime or a suicide. It's a debate that can get pretty heated. A gun in the home for defensive use is at the heart of the guns rights movement. And today we hear from both sides, starting with criminologist Gary Kleck of Florida State University. Gary, hi.
Hello.
And you are one who feels that there's a huge number of the successful defensive uses of guns. But results from the National Crime Victimization Survey, which we know you're familiar with, it's administered by the U.S. Bureau of Justice Statistics, they suggest an annual number of DGUs below 60,000. Your 1992 estimate was 2 million, and you've told us it's maybe 1 million now. So 1 million compared to about 60,000. How did you come to that number?
Well, actually, the NCVS, they've never directly asked any respondents specifically about defensive gun use. They just give people an opportunity to volunteer that. So there is no valid NCVS-based estimate. But there are no less than 19 professionally conducted national surveys. Mine was just one of them. And every last one of them indicates on the order of a million or more defensive gun uses per year.
Well, let's take a look at some of the criticism of your research. For instance, respondents were asked whether they fired their guns, and if so, whether they managed to hit the mark. And the responses were yes, that they hit the mark many times. And people who have looked at your research say that that would have meant that something like 132,000 perpetrators were either wounded or killed at the hands of these armed civilians. This is in the 90s. And that number was just about the same as the total of all people who were shot or killed or received treatment for non-fatal gunshot wounds in an emergency room that year. But those people were the result of criminal assault or suicide attempts or accidents. In other words, people can't seem to find the people who were shot by citizens defending themselves. They don't seem to show up in hospital records.
Well, that's partly because if you put yourself in the position of a criminal who was attempting to rob somebody and then they got shot by their victim, you'd be insane to go to an emergency room and say, please treat my gunshot wound, because the medical personnel are required by law to tell the police this guy came in and was treated for a gunshot wound, and then he'd have to explain how he got that wound. Well, it's not surprising that it would be very unusual that that sort of criminal wounded as a result of a defensive gun use didn't seek medical treatment. Only 7% of the people who told us they had a defensive gun use were wounded.
But in the other cases, you'd think if it was a million or 2 million, we'd hear about it a lot more. Why don't we hear about it?
Who would have an incentive to let somebody hear about it? Who are you going to tell? If you tell the police, I just wielded a gun pointing a deadly weapon at another human being and claimed it was in self-defense, the police are going to investigate that, and they may well, in the short run, arrest you and treat you as a criminal until and unless you are cleared.
Do you think there is lower crime in areas where more people own guns in the home for defensive uses?
Well, not necessarily, because as I say, there's both good and bad effects of people having guns. And the more you're talking about a high crime neighborhood, the more you're talking about a place where a larger and larger proportion of the people who have guns are criminals or violence prone. And guns in the hands of those sorts of people is a bad thing. It tends to increase violence. Whereas people who would only be involved in violence as victims, for them to have guns and to use them occasionally for self-protection is a good thing.
What's the one thing you'd want people to know about your research?
Well, that it does support universal background checks. It's documented both the violence-elevating effects of guns in the hands of criminals and the violence-reducing effects of guns in the hands of non-criminals. And I've evaluated 19 distinct categories of gun control, and two of the kinds that seem to reduce violence are basically permit and licensing systems, and what they have in common is a background check. Right now, we have background checks that only cover dealer sales, but most criminals get their guns from sources other than licensed gun dealers. So that's my support for the notion we should expand background checks to encompass private transfers.
Gary Kleck, criminologist at Florida State University. Gary, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's bring in David Hemenway, a professor at Harvard School of Public Health. David, you and Gary Kleck have sparred on this for years. Start with your response to his theory that government numbers are so low, and his are accurate, because people who use a gun to defend themselves won't report it because they're afraid of being arrested or not believed.
I don't know why he would think that. It's they bought the gun for self-defense. There's no evidence to indicate that that would be true.
You're questioning his research. We wondered it, too, if there were as many as a million, half of what the original number, 2 million, a few years ago. You feel you would hear anecdotally about that. I mean, is that part of your point that we'd be hearing about this?
Well, when you try to validate that kind of number, a million, it doesn't make any sense at all. There should be at least some number of newspaper reports, at least 5 or 10% of the time. You should have 100,000 or more newspaper reports every year. What a great story.
You hear about it.
You know, grandmother prevents this evil person from shooting up her place or robbing things. This is a great, tremendous news. And, of course, you don't hear it because it didn't happen.
Well, but how do you explain that your survey and his survey, both considered legitimate by different scholars, have such different conclusions?
Yeah. Well, it's not my survey. It's the National Crime Victimization Survey. This is probably the most sophisticated criminal survey in the world. And it tries to eliminate the big problems that you find if you just call people up. There is consensus in the field. I survey gun researchers, and I've asked them, for example, how much do you agree with this statement? In the United States, there are more than a million self-defense gun uses each year. So it's about 100 people answer. 20 to 1, the researchers who look at this say, this is just bad science. It's a well-known problem in epidemiology that if something's a rare event and you just try to ask how many people have done this, you will get incredible overestimates.
Why? Because people want to say that? Why is that?
When you are asking about a rare event, if you ask, did you give blood in the last 6 months? They maybe gave blood 9 months ago. They were planning to give blood. Their partner gave blood. Whatever it is, we don't know exactly, but we know it's always the case.
It's always inflated.
As long as it's not a completely negative thing. If she said, "Did you kick your wife in the teeth yesterday?"
No.
Yeah. But anything that's neutral or positive, and self-defense gun use is a positive thing. That's the reason to have a gun.
But what about the hard, cold facts of emergency rooms? Now, he says that the reason that we're not seeing all these people who had been shot is that the people who have been shot, since they were in the course of a crime, don't go to hospitals.
So we know if they didn't go to hospitals, they would end up, a lot of them would end up in hospitals with sepsis or other major problems. If you don't get your gunshot wound treated, you'd end up in some hospital, and there's none of these people who do. We've actually tried to figure this out. So when people are first incarcerated, they have all these medical exams with no police around, but they have medical exams with the doctor and the doctors and nurses. They ask them about, do you smoke and have you ever had emphysema, and on and on and on and on and on, all these things. And then they also say you've been shot, and a lot of people say yes. But then they say, what happened when you were shot? They all say they went to the hospital. They all can explain which hospital they went to. But Gary Kleck claims that maybe 200,000 people a year, bad guys, are shot. And in emergency departments and in the morgue, we typically only see maybe 130,000, all of whom we think are good guys or suicide victims or accident victims.
Yeah, you can trace their gunshot wounds to other things and not defensive guns. He also seems to be saying that, okay, let's say people in suburban neighborhoods are buying guns to protect themselves, and that is a good thing. They seem to be protecting themselves. Just the notion that people might know that there are guns there is deflective of crime.
There's no evidence that guns make people safer. There just isn't any.
Does it matter, though, if in one home somewhere in the United States, one person can say, I defended my family?
No, there's no question that you can find a case where someone was better off with a gun. You can find a case where someone is better off drinking alcohol. You can find a case where someone is better off not wearing their seatbelt. You can find a lot of cases, but what you're seeing is sort of in the aggregate, people have guns for protection against strangers. Strangers are not who's going to get you. basically, the average person, and even Gary Kleck will admit this, has basically no chance in their lifetime ever to use a gun in self-defense. But they have every day they have a chance to use the gun inappropriately. They have a chance to get angry. They get scared. They get depressed. Their kids find the guns and somebody commits suicide. Someone has a gun accident. Somebody steals the gun and uses it on somebody else. There's all these horrible things that can happen, and they overwhelm any possible benefit.
David Hemenway, professor of health policy at the Harvard School of Public Health, director of the Harvard Injury Control Research Center. David, thank you.
All right, thank you.
So two sets of research there. We welcome your thoughts, but here's a quick note about other gun research. Young people have been at the center of the gun debate since the Parkland shooting. This afternoon on All Things Considered, we'll hear about a new generation of researchers who are hoping to prevent gun-related violence by better understanding what drives it. That's later today on ATC. And again, your thoughts on DGUs, defensive gun use. Welcome now at hearnow.org.